Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Hey, B, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
I'm just chilling forthrightly on the bench.
That is fantastic. That's spiritual.
You? Man. Yeah, well, you know.
Me, I am standing here amidst many boxes, many cardboard boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Packed full of all
yes.
our worldly possessions.
It is that moment of transition, is it not?
It is, and unfortunately my cup is empty.
Ah, well, fuck, you better drink. I mean, get something to drink, and then drink it.
Yeah, that's the challenge, because it's all packed away. I thought I had a drink here at the ready. Have you ever noticed that, I think we've talked about the fact that various liquors kind of, you know, hit you in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So lately, I've just been drinking a lot of gin.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is not, there's no more left here. So I guess I'll have to get some more.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, maybe you could, like, walk down to the corner liquor store and get some while we're talking or something.
I will do that. And what about you? Where are you at?
I'm just kind of in my kitchen, as you might be able to hear in the background. I am drinking my typical bourbon and diet. I know that this has become a pattern that borders on the boring, but...
It's
you know,
more than bordering, Jay. You've crossed over into the other country.
Oh yeah.
So you're saying you're on a diet of strictly bourbon.
Correct. Yeah.
You ever have any Coca-Cola, for example?
We put Diet Coke into it sometimes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Gotcha. Well, so you're there in Missoula, Montana, I take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually just sitting at the kitchen table and doing nothing particularly exciting. I met with a couple of friends earlier tonight to discuss an upcoming hunting trip. And other than that, not much excitement in my world. Certainly nothing as exciting as moving.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting.
So maybe go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we now have 30 people signed up to come and help us move. When is it? Oh, yes, just a couple days from now, Saturday. I'm talking to you, of course, late on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And really very short time away, early Saturday morning, we're going to move, and we've got like 30 people signed up to volunteer, just friends who've said that they would come and help us. Now, I would think 30 people is more than enough to knock this job out, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
In fact,
do you know these people?
No. That's the interesting thing. None of them are known to me at all. They're just
mm-hmm.
kind of random people that we, found down living on Canal Street, sleeping in cardboard boxes.
That's fantastic. Well, it sounds like you'll be able to, you know, provide them with new cardboard boxes, and in the process, you'll be able to get rid of your old junk.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, they're all very, very, very close friends, people that we know and who actually are housed. The homelessness problem in New Orleans appears to persist, like many places in the country, of course. But what I was really wondering about, Jay, is something that's really been preying on my mind now for
mm-hmm.
months on end, actually ever since we've started this little podcasting endeavor, these conversations that we record between you and me.
Uh-huh.
you know, you're in the later time zone. I'm in the earlier time zone, so I'm always sitting up waiting for you. And we both seem to have similar fatherly duties.
Correct, yes.
It's both, you know, kind of falls upon us to put our young children to bed.
Well, sometimes,
now,
in my case, just to clarify,
sometimes,
it's not
sometimes.
Always.
So, yeah, it does vary, okay, in your case. In my case, it never varies. But but here's the point. Here's the point, Jay.
Yeah.
You and I have a one-hour time difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
One hour. I'm in the central time zone. You're in the mountain time zone. So that's one hour time difference. And yet there seems to be a two-hour time difference in the time we put our children down.
Really?
What is going on here, Jay?
Well,
what on earth is going on?
I think some certain things are, in fact, going on. Happenstances have been happening. In particular, you know, Julian is not only a time zone away from you guys, but he's also a year and some change away from Persephone's age. And I do remember a glorious time. Well, I mean, I'm not sure I would actually call it glorious. There was a time when 7:30 was a more usual bedtime for him. However, that was also the time at a time when he was waking up a lot in the middle of the night. And so I don't miss those things, those midnight escapades. The other thing that seems to happen that has really kind of started happening, well, a couple of things have been happening. One is that he finally lets me put him to bed. It used to be that I couldn't because he, sort of the critical central part of the bedtime ritual was the breastfeeding. And try as I might, I can't seem to get my nipples to exude milk.
That is interesting because I've read that men can lactate if they just want to harden us. So apparently your desire just was not sufficient.
That doesn't necessarily surprise me. There's the fact that, you know, going to bed ritual. What's that?
Do you hear the sirens in the background there?
The who in the background?
Sirens.
Sirens, no.
Oh, okay, I'm hearing more sirens than I've heard, I think, in my entire life.
Wow.
Are they
in your neighborhood, in your town, or is this in your head, or what?
Listen up for a second.
Oh, yeah, I hear them.
Did you hear that? Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's just a sample. That's just a little sample. All right.
How long has this been going on?
About a minute, several minutes. Good God.
Sounds like they're coming for you, man.
That one just stopped nearby. That's not what you want to hear.
Yeah. Well, lock the door.
Why? I'm talking to
so,
Jim Nichol.
Yeah.
In Missoula,
Montana. Are you indeed walking to the liquor store?
Oh no! I'm just rooting around in this box under all these cloths, looking for some rum. Oh, here we go.
Uh-huh. There you go.
All right, fantastic. Okay, yes, carry on.
Yeah. So, you know, I've made a short story quite long here, but I think Julian does go to bed later than Persephone, and I think he may also, you know, his going to bed ritual. I think I'm a little bit of a sucker for some of his
routine.
What's that?
Routines?
Yeah, well, or you know, he he is he's got his strategies for keeping me in his room and keeping the process going for longer than it probably needs to go. You know,
just one more story.
One more story. One more song.
Yes, indeed.
You know, lately the big thing, he's got this. He's got this light that it's a turtle, but it puts out pinpoints of light that look like stars. And
oh,
so
yeah.
One of the songs that we sing is Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. But before we can sing it, he has to, it's underneath his bunk bed so he can reach he can touch the stars that are on the underside of the bunk bed. And so he needs to pick out the appropriate star to sing to, which takes longer and longer and longer. It's to the point where I have to threaten to leave before he finally picks a star to sing to.
That's sweet.
Yeah,
although,
it's adorable and sweet and annoying all in one.
Indeed. Well, although I've got to say, you did mention 7:30 as a time. Now, we don't put our daughter down at 7:30, so it's more like 8:30. And it seems to me like you must be putting your son down at 9:30.
Well, we usually put him down at between 8 and 8:30, but then it usually takes about an hour of stories.
An hour?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing. Yeah, well, there you go. Because I was going to say, if we both put our children down to sleep at the same time. Oh, by the way, I'm walking out here. Outside, I'm smelling smoke, and I'm seeing smoke drifting over the neighborhood. I'm thinking the sirens might be related to a fire in the neighborhood somewhere.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of
That's
feral cats are coming out and nipping at my heels. I'm
going
to miss this old neighborhood. I got to tell you, Jay, the emotions are running high here in New City.
Yeah, I can imagine.
New Orleans. I'm just, you know, we put so much of our heart and soul into this old house. And after getting flooded, you know, and after the back in 2005, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Got flooded. And, and we just worked like banshees to get that house back. And now we're selling it.
Yep.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, you know, I can only pretend to imagine what you're going through. I totally understand that sense of connection that you have to your place. I mean, you know, I think the one thing that you and I have both always shared is a sense that it's really important to be rooted where you are and involved in your local community and all of that kind of stuff.
That sense of place, in fact, when we first moved into this house, I remember thinking, this house is so weird, the layout of it, it's so awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And now after living here 7 years, I'm just kind of in love with the way that it's laid out, and I'm thinking, well, how could I live any other way?
Yeah, you know,
there does seem to
the
have
quirkiest
cool
thing about mine
opened up next door, and so I'm kind of thinking that I'd kind of like to get away from that.
Wait, what pool hall?
The neighbor seemed to have opened up a pool hall next door.
Seriously?
I didn't think you
lived in a commercial area.
It's not legal. Although the police did stop by the other night and say that, you know, hey, if there's no gambling going on, then it's not a problem. Although you got a question, how would they know if there's any gambling going on?
Right.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to go back into my house, and I've literally got two kittens, Jay, two black and white kittens that have snuck into the house ahead of me.
Wow.
What am I going to do? Now I've got a ferret. I've got a ferret. Well, they've gone back into the. They've run away from me. I don't even think I can get them now. They've just gone into our house. They're making themselves at home in our house. Well, I guess that's a problem for the next owner.
Well, you know, I mean, you could try to get rid of them, but on the other hand, you're not going to be there much longer. Maybe you could just leave them.
Oh, one of them's running out again.
Yeah.
This is it's quite a dramatic scenario.
Yes, it sounds like it. So when you move this Saturday, huh?
Yes, yes. By the time anybody hears this, we'll probably already have moved.
Right on.
Because you know how it is with the internet and all that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And files.
So, I mean, I would assume that you're not having buyer's remorse or second thoughts about this. It's just acknowledging.
So many mixed emotions. So many mixed emotions. Every day, not a day goes by that I don't wonder, am I really doing the right thing? I would say the primary thing that we're going for here is we've lived here for 7 years. We've built up enough equity in the house that when we sell it, we can kind of trade up. And and the trading up, what does that really entail? Well, central air and central heat, that's very nice. But but more than anything else, I would say it's a higher ratio of owner-occupied homes in the surrounding area. And that is kind of, I mean, that's also throwing me for a loop because as I look around here on the street, I just think, you know, for the time that I've lived here so far, I thought this is where my daughter's going to grow up. She's going to be meeting a diverse array of people, but especially she's going to be meeting a lot of poor people.
Uh-huh.
And I guess what we're saying is that, you know, we're trying to move somewhere where she'll meet a slightly less percentage of poor people.
Yeah.
I don't know. But before this disaster struck our city, I mean, the neighborhood was mostly renters, mostly people who were, you know, just renting property from some landlord who probably didn't even live in the city limits. But they were long-term renters. And in this post-disaster scenario, the whole society here is so destabilized that people just don't stick around for very long. So as soon as you get to know them, they're gone. And sometimes you're glad to see them go, and sometimes, you know, not so glad. But it doesn't matter because pretty much they're gone. And so of all of our neighbors right here on this little block, this whole street, there's really only one person that's still here, and she's getting ready to leave now. She's been here about 3 years or so, but that's it. Everybody else is, like, here and gone.
Yeah.
And then some new people come in.
Yeah.
And it'll
stabilize.
What's
that?
It'll stabilize eventually, I'm sure. But I guess, don't feel like waiting around for them.
Yeah. Do you know if the people purchasing it are planning on living there?
Oh, yes, they are. In fact, we got 3 offers in the same day, all first-time home buyers, which was, you know, our demographic, what we figured would want to buy this house. And, you know, that's what we were 7 years ago, first-time home buyers.
Yep.
And, I guess a public defender and some other kind of attorney. A couple of lawyers.
Wow.
But they didn't want to have us here one day after they closed on the sale. So we had to, it's this ironic situation where we're buying a house which is vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And we're selling our house, which obviously is not vacant because we're living in it, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be nice for us to move into the house that's vacant first and then sell the house that's not vacant? But, of course, we can't buy the house that's vacant until we sell this house that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to have us here one day after they buy it. So we have to actually, we're ending up renting the house that we're buying for about a week.
Oh,
about
geez.
A week before the actual occupancy occurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
So
I'm merely hoping at this point that, you know, the buyers will say, you know, could we possibly, you know, get in there a day or two in advance?
Mm-hmm.
Because then that'll give me one chance in this whole transaction to say,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
To say what?
Sure,
give
but,
you one.
But pay me.
Pay me. You said it'll give you one chance in this transaction to say, and then
sure,
I'll bring nothing.
But
okay.
Pay me. Pay
oh, yes.
Me.
Yes, pay money is good.
Yes, to me, because that's what everybody else has been saying to me at every turn.
Wow.
I take it hard.
Yeah. You know, people do seem to want money. It's true.
It's ubiquitous
stuff. Yeah. Exactly.
But meanwhile, I heard in the news that somehow somebody's recommending marijuana for hemorrhoids. Have you
really?
Heard of this? Yeah.
No.
Have you any idea what I'm talking about? None? None?
Well, I mean, I have an idea what marijuana is.
And hemorrhoids.
And hemorrhoids, yeah.
You've
matter of fact,
those.
I think I had hemorrhoids one time.
Oh, yeah, well, it's a plague.
Long time. Somebody's,
yeah.
Great, I should knock on wood or else I'll, you know, like, get him back now.
Well, let me tell you, Jay, it's been a huge problem for me. Huge.
Really?
And I am thinking that if I can just smoke pot to take care of that, that would be awesome.
Do you smoke pot anymore?
Well, it's sure. But,
do you? I mean, I'm just asking because I actually don't. It's been
a
long time for me.
What do you mean by a long time?
Oh, I mean, in terms of like any kind of regularity, it's been probably 10 years.
No, I don't mean in terms of any times of regularity. I mean, when's the last time you smoked pot?
Last time was, it was probably at a poker game, so it was probably like last spring or something.
Okay, you frickin' stoner. So you got stoned this year, you fucking pothead?
Yeah.
And you're telling
you know,
me
the,
that you don't
the,
smoke pot
the,
anymore.
The great irony of my various drug uses and addictions is that I actually quit started drinking more because I was tired of the hangovers I was getting from smoking pot. So I sort of started out having, you know, a couple of beers or I think I was drinking beer at the time and instead of getting stoned and then that turned into a couple of bourbon and diets and
well
so on.
I think it's incumbent upon us to acknowledge that of course marijuana is much less deleterious on the central nervous system, let's say, and so forth, than alcohol. You know, if I was able to just take my pick of drugs to enjoy from a smorgasbord of different substances, it would be pretty high up there. But of course, it's just not that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know,
but
yes.
I recently took, you know, one of the problems I have with traveling, you know that I don't tend to travel a lot. I tend to stay in one place. So
really?
I've been here in New Orleans, not moving around much. The last time actually that I even got on an airplane was to go up to that conference in Boston. You might have remembered a couple of years ago. You remember when I went?
Yeah,
there?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so just last week I went to Houston on a plane, And I remembered, you know, one of the reasons I don't like traveling is because it gets me off of my regular diet and my regular fiber intake. And for some reason, I guess it's part of American culture or whatever, it's hard to get a good dose of fiber when you're out traveling. Have you ever, do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, not really, but then
really.
I have this weird habit of eating seat cushions when I'm on planes. So.
Okay, well, there you go. So when I came back, I just scarfed down huge amounts of fiber cereal and cardboard and stuff when I got back. And have you ever taken the crap and had it, you know, like, oh, that's a double flusher or a triple flusher? Have you ever had that experience? You know what I'm talking about?
Or you need to get a Roto-Rooter?
Yeah. So there I am at work, Jay, and I take a crap in the men's restroom, and it just stops up the toilet entirely.
Nice.
And I flush it again and again and again, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I let it sit for a couple hours, came back and flushed a few more times, nothing. Now, that's the only men's toilet on our entire floor. So I'm feeling, pretty bad.
Yeah.
About what I've done to my fellow
coworkers. Did they not have a plunger?
No, there's no plunger. No.
No. Huh.
It's like a public restroom, you know. I mean, you don't tend to have plungers in there. So we had to call maintenance then.
Yeah. Could you make an anonymous call, like, you know, shield your caller ID and...
No, I asked our administrative assistant to call.
Oh, so you actually had to fess up twice, I guess.
Oh, just once.
Yeah.
To her.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't even mention to her, you know, who was responsible for this. So really, zero. No, I didn't fess up to anything. And
oh,
until
yeah,
I talked
yeah,
to you,
yeah.
Jay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Until I talked to you.
So let me clarify here then. Did you, in your tone of voice or in the way that you presented this to the administrative assistant, was there any implication that this was surely someone else?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. But on the other
was
hand,
there any
I didn't
implication that it was you?
No, I did not go out of my way to specify, by the way, Olivia, that is my fecal matter that is clogging up the toilet. I did not say that. No, I did not go out of my way to make that clear, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, I mean, you've got a sort of ethical issue hanging over you here because here's the thing. Now Olivia is probably sitting at home right now while we're talking on the phone trying to figure out who is the guy in the office with the monster turds.
Possibly. I'm thinking she would probably suspect it's not an anal virgin.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, does that get you off the hook?
Well, not exactly, because I ride a bicycle every day.
Oh, right,
and
yeah. So you basically get reamed in the ass every day.
Yeah, that's what I've been told, anyway. I've been told.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that this is a big issue. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that, it's necessarily going to plague your work relations for long. But you should consider that, you know, there are people who may be falsely accused due to your unwillingness to step up to the shitter.
It's possible. I suppose it is possible. But there's a lot of traffic on the street all of a sudden.
You could take a more aggressive approach also and really lambaste your maintenance crew for not providing you with a plunger.
Yeah,
blame them for the problem.
I'm more concerned, long term, with the health of my colon.
The health of your colon.
Yeah, it really is something that I'm kind of worried about. I'm kind of thinking that I need to see a butt doctor.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
For any particular reason, or?
Well, just the tearing and the bleeding.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would do it.
Kind of annoying, and the fact is that healthcare, you know, being what it is in this country, it's just not good, right? I mean, I've got through my employer. I guess HMO or a healthcare provider or whatever the freaking term is of du jour. You go on the website and try to find somebody who's qualified because, you know, you can't just go to any doctor, right? You have to go to somebody who's in the plan or participating or whatever the freaking terminology is.
Yeah, right.
And,
right?
And of course, the database that they provide to us is not up to date. Now, you are aware, I'm sure, that 4 years ago here we had some serious flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I heard about that.
Nobody's where they were at 4 years ago, but can they be bothered to update their database? No. I've tried to bring this to their attention, and to no results. So, you know, what I'm basically trying to say to you is I'm trying to look for a proctologist who's nearby. And I'll be damned if I can find one.
Hmm. That sounds like the shits, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's a shitty situation. I would encourage you to maybe call the plan administrator because, you know, sometimes they can figure something out, or if they can't, they can at least acknowledge that it's a problem and tell you what you should do. Because, you know, I think most health plans, if you don't have somebody in the plan close by, but you need that kind of a specialist, then they have to basically let you choose.
Well, I would love to tell you about the plan administrator.
I could be completely naive about that.
If I told you about my relationship with the plan administrator, there could be severe legal consequences. So let's just end it.
Yeah, I remember reading, I think, something on your blog about the BS that you've had to deal with those people. I tell you, man, the healthcare debate. That I've been hearing, I think it's wonderful that everybody's focused on this. You know, I know that it's a very sort of politically difficult time and everybody's fighting over stuff, but at least they're fighting over something that matters, you know.
I agree.
They're not fighting over a fucking balloon boy or whatever. What's that?
I was just agreeing with you in emphatic terms. Can I just tell you that I was, this is actually a good segue to mention the fact that I was in Houston last week. And, you know, what are you going to, I don't know what you did for Halloween night, but I was stuck in Houston, Texas. Have you ever been to Houston, by the way?
No.
No, okay, oh, great. Well, you know, it's a fairly large and whatever city. So, I don't know anything about it. And here I am, stuck there for Halloween night, not where I wanted to be.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Ended up going to a very, I would say, kind of interesting, very, I think you would have liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. Kind of artsy, funky, weird dive bar in downtown Houston called Natsuo, by the way, which is, you know, Houston spelled backwards. And there was a band there, the Free Radicals, which was like a jazz, funk, rock, just a very eclectic hybrid. They played all instrumentals all night long, but they did do one song where they actually got the audience to sing along, and different band members got on the mic and sung, and it was all quite delightful. And it was about healthcare reform. That was the one song that they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And, you know, that just proved to me that Halloween in Houston, it can happen.
Sure.
It's not
yeah.
quite Halloween in New Orleans, but still.
Yeah.
You know, what is? What is, really?
Right.
In the final analysis, what really can compare with Halloween in New Orleans?
Yeah. I agree. Even though I've never been there.
You've been to New Orleans, and you've been to Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
A year ago, we had our naming ceremony for our daughter.
Wow.
At this time.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
I mean, or whatever.
Time has gone that fast, though. Seriously?
What's that?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Time has gone that fast?
Yes, well, you're very busy.
I'm very what?
Busy.
Oh, yes.
You
yeah.
keep him busy, and therefore, time seems to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you spent more time contemplating your navel.
Right, exactly.
Do you, by the way, that was one of the themes, actually, that emerged for me at this conference that I was at, was contemplative practice. Do you do anything like that that's contemplative, you know, looking at your name
well, you
or
know,
whatever?
I'd like to say that I do, but really it's been quite a while at this point. I was regularly doing yoga twice a week or, you know, taking a yoga class twice a week plus doing a little bit more. For a couple of years, probably 3 or 4 years, okay, maybe 2 or 3 years, I don't know. But in any event, it was going well. I really enjoyed it. It made a huge difference in my life, both emotionally and physically. And then we had a kid, and it became a hell of a lot harder to find time to do that.
Yeah.
So I do it some occasionally, randomly, you know, when I find myself with an evening to kill, but you know, it just ain't what it used to be.
Well, I was just reflecting on the fact that, you know, with, I try to blog, I try to post to my blog regularly, and that is an exercise in writing and reflection, which I try to do. I mean, that's almost a daily practice for me now for a good 5 years or more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not yoga. But it is still, I think, a reflective practice that establishes a little space, a little mental space in my day. It takes about an hour, really, to, you know, where you have to set aside that amount of time. And it can be a little difficult sometimes to find that time. But, but I've managed to, more or less, continue to do that, and I guess it's not really what you would consider a traditional spiritual or contemplative practice, but I think it qualifies in the final analysis. Something that I think, you know, I mean, it kind of helps me out, puts a little perspective on my life as I continue to go through it and try to make it from day to day.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I think that it's a critical component of life to find some quietude and you know, way to try to at least recognize the things that are working and not working in your life.
Now, talking to you, on the other hand, that's just a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. It's because of my stupidity.
Well, while I'm talking to you, I am playing with two kittens that have just come up from the street here and are just as cute as can be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know how, I mean, you know, puppies and kittens, they're kind of like babies, except even cuter.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what you're doing there, but I'm playing with kittens.
That's awesome. You should make like an inspirational poster.
I think I will.
So, yeah, well, it's...
I suppose there's one other thing that Bear is talking about, and that is the fact that last time we were conversing, we were mentioning the imminent arrival of the Rocks DVD first season.
Oh, right, yes.
And that has run afoul of some technical difficulties.
Uh-huh.
In particular, our good friend Lee Lawmaster, who, by the way, is a new father. Not his first time, but new dad as of last week, I believe. Maybe 2 weeks ago now. Time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he has... encountered some technical difficulties with the hard drive, the external hard drive that he was mastering all these videos on.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a little bit of a setback. So, of course, data recovery is such a huge ripoff that he's thinking, you know what, it'd just be better just to start all over again, get all that video back onto you know, from the original sources, and
yeah.
Anyway, that work is proceeding apace, and I think we'll be back to where we were before you know it.
Well, already then, that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, but you know, if anybody should be out there listening to this, at least it'll give them a sense of the pain that, you know, went into making that happen, and maybe they'll just appreciate it just a little bit more. I got to tell you,
yeah.
Over the years, you've probably encountered people who've said to you that Rocks was inspirational to them in one way or
mm-hmm.
another. And Lee is one of those people. He said to me at one point that if it wasn't for Rocks, he probably would be in prison now.
Wow.
Instead, he's a functioning member of society. And, I mean, you know, I mean, just to hear that and hear me glibly say it, it sounds, you know, like, what do you call it, almost silly. But if you think about it, that's pretty profound, considering that we were just a couple of drunken dumbasses fooling around with the video camera and the public access TV station in Bloomington, Indiana. But I know that there have been a number of people who were profoundly, you know, influenced by the program.
Yeah.
And very happily so. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is that our new slogan might be Rock Saves Lives.
Right. You know, if we'd said that before, we might have gotten some actual funding. So
okay,
I guess
well,
live and learn, huh?
Yeah, live and learn. There's funding in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because people are definitely going to send this money.
rocks saves lives and influences people.
Right, exactly.
Or something. Yeah, we could work on that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so I want to apologize for the long time that we haven't been in touch, but it sounds like you've had no small number of things going on, what with moving. And I hope that it goes well this weekend. And I guess the next time we talk, though, you will probably be in a new space.
Yeah, I was thinking, and actually a week ago, I was thinking how cool it would be to call you from Houston. Because there's really no reason I couldn't have called you, you know, from there. I mean, just talking on my cell phone, I could have talked to my cell phone from Houston just as easily as I talked to you here, but, you know, it just didn't happen. So are you going to come down to New Orleans to help us move?
You know, I wanted to. I thought that it would be a great little fun thing to do, but there's that small matter of money and that small matter of time off. And I just don't see it happening this time, unfortunately.
That's all you ever talk about is money.
Yeah, I know.
All right, well, that's okay. You suck, but it's still okay.
Right on.
Well, thanks for speaking with me tonight. And I guess until next time, you know, we should regard one another. And I just hope we can find a place to keep our rabbit.
Right. I hope so, too.
Thank you.
And I will talk to you after you move, I suppose.
All right. Fantastic. Good evening.
Yes, you as well. Bye-bye.